Good morning. Could you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4? I was thinking during the week about what I was going to speak about this morning, and I received a card from a former Bible college lecturer and his wife. And on that Christmas card, they mentioned 1 John chapter 4. And I thought that would be a very good passage to speak on in my Christmas series of sermons. Now, when you look at the Epistle of John, John doesn't mention Bethlehem or the manger or the angels or the shepherds in his letter, but he does mention the love of God and the Son of God that was sent into the world. So this morning, as we think about Christ coming into this world, I want us to think about his love towards us. And there are five things in relation to love that I would like to look at this morning. And if you're writing notes, you might like to write them down. As we look at 1 John chapter 4, I want us to think about the attribute of love. Secondly, I'd like us to think about the absence of love. Thirdly, the action of love. Fourthly, I'd like us to look at the atonement of love, and then the announcement of love. Firstly, I want to speak about the attribute of love. Now, love is an essential part of God's character. 1 John 4 verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God doesn't love us because we can earn his love. God loves us because he is love. God's love to us is an agape love, the love which is a self-sacrificing love. Kenneth Wiest, the Greek scholar, says of that word agape, which we translate into English to love, "Agape is a love that impels one to sacrifice oneself for the benefit of the object loved. It speaks of a love which is awakened by a sense of value in the object loved, an apprehension of its preciousness." Romans 8 verse 37. "Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you know the love of God in Christ Jesus? Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? God the Father loves you. God the Son loves you. God the Holy Spirit loves you. Secondly, I'd like to speak about the absence of love. 1 John 4 verse 8, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You know, today, right round the world, there is an absence of love. And the Apostle Paul indicated that this would happen in the last days. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradie, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." What a description of our world today. Many people are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Sadly today, the majority of people in our world don't love God. There's plenty of people that love religion, but they don't love the true God of the Bible. If people truly love Jesus, then our world would be a far different place than what we see today. If the majority of people in our cities loved Jesus and his words, then our cities would be far different. Our cities would be safe cities if the majority of people in the cities loved Jesus. When people love Jesus, then there is a respect and value for human lives. And there is honesty and dignity and integrity. You know, Jesus indicated that the characteristics of his disciples, one of the major characteristics of his disciples, is that they would love. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Paul wrote about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and Paul said, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Thirdly, I want to speak about the action of love today. 1 John 4 verse 9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." God's love to humanity was displayed to us in action. God the Father took action and sent his only begotten Son from heaven to the sin-filled world that we might live through him. God the Father showed the world his own love by sending his Son into the world to give us life. Love is not only seen by the sacrificial love of Jesus, but love is seen by the giving of our Heavenly Father of his Son to this world. If the Father did not love us, then the Father would not have sent his perfect Son into this imperfect world. The Father's love was sacrificial, just as the Son's love was sacrificial. The Father sent the Son so that we might have life through him. I don't know if you remember the singer Keith Green. Keith Green died in a plane accident in 1982. Keith Green had a Jewish background, and he wrote that wonderful song, "There Is a Redeemer." And in his song, Keith Green proclaimed his thankfulness to God the Father for sending his Son. You might know the words. "There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done." Do you thank God the Father for sending his Son so that you might have life? If God the Father did not send Jesus to the earth, then you and I would be dead in our sins with no hope of eternal life. Fourthly, I'd like to speak about the atonement of love. In 1 John 4 verse 10, we read this, "In this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." One writer writes in regards to propitiation. Propitiation has the idea of a sacrifice that turns away the wrath of God. God rightly regarded us apart from him as worthy targets of his judgment. We were rebels and enemies of him, even if we didn't know it. But on the cross, Jesus took the punishment our sin deserved. His sacrifice turned away the judgment we would have received. You and I have sinned against God. You and I can't save ourselves. We are unholy and we need a substitute to take our place in order for us to be forgiven. The death of Jesus Christ provided a substitutionary atonement for the sins of the world. 1 John 2 verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." In the beginning, God placed Adam and Eve in a beautiful garden. He gave them all that they needed. His love was evident to them in his provision, and God also gave them an occupation, and that was to care for the garden that they were placed in. In God's love, there was provision for Adam and Eve, and there was dominion for Adam and Eve over God's creation. God in his love also gave Adam and Eve free will, but they took that free will and tragically rebelled against the God that loved them. But God's love did not stop there. God came in person to them right after their rebellion. Genesis 3 verse 6, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" God came to the garden after they sinned. But a loving God cannot overlook sin. And sin must be judged and sin must be paid for. And in Genesis chapter 3, God pronounces three judgments. There's judgment upon the serpent, Genesis 3, 14 to 15. There's judgment upon Eve, Genesis 3, 16. There's judgment upon Adam, in which the earth would be affected, Genesis 3, 17 to 19. After God pronounced the three judgments, God in his love did something amazing and probably very unexpected for Adam and Eve. God clothed them in their nakedness. God himself, in his love for them, despite their rebellion, was the one that took action to clothe them. You'll remember that Adam and Eve had made their own futile efforts to cover their nakedness. Genesis 3 verse 7, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know, mankind today make their own futile efforts to cover their sin by their good works. We read in Titus chapter 3 verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. The hymn writer got it right when he said this, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Genesis 3 verse 21 says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. God did not clothe them with better leaves or from the wool from an animal. He didn't shear a sheep and knit the wool together. But God took the skin of an animal. And by taking the skin of an animal to clothe them, God made coats of skins, the Bible says, and clothed them. But when God clothed them with coats of skins, that meant that something had to die. And all the animals in the garden, they were perfect. It was God's perfect creation. But something of God's perfect creation, an animal with the skin, had to die because of their sins. The death of an innocent animal was the first physical death in the Bible. An innocent victim dies to provide a covering for sinful people. The first death in the Bible is where a perfect animal was killed by God himself to provide a covering for Adam and Eve after they sinned. Blood was shed in order to provide a substitute for Adam and Eve. Hebrews 9 verse 22, without shedding of blood is no remission. God required the blood sacrifice. And you see a blood sacrifice there in the early chapters of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, lastly, I'd like to speak about the announcement of love. John announced love incarnate in the person of the Lord Jesus. The angels announced God's love in the birth of the Lord Jesus at Bethlehem, love incarnate came to Bethlehem. You know, for hundreds of years there was no written revelation in the scriptures that had been given. There were no recorded prophecies written down between the time period of Malachi and Matthew. After hundreds of years of silence, there starts to be announcements of angels. Gabriel speaks to Zacharias in Luke chapter 1 about the birth of John the Baptist. And then Gabriel speaks to Mary about the coming birth of Jesus, Luke 1:28. And an angel appears to Joseph in a dream to announce Christ's birth, Matthew 1:20-21. Then at the birth of Christ, angels appear to shepherds, Luke 2:8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Aren't you glad that the angel of the Lord wasn't a Calvinist? If the angel of the Lord was a Calvinist, he might have said something like this, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to some people. Or he might have said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to only the elect. No. What did the angel say? The angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 13, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill to some? No. The goodwill was to go out to all mankind. Good news of great joy was to be for all people. Aren't you glad for the alls of the Bible? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Isaiah 53 verse 6, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Don't let the Calvinists rob the world of the truth of Christmas. Jesus came to die for all people. But the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Not just the Saviour of the elect. 1 John 2 verse 2, And he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Lord Jesus died for the church, and John makes that very clear. But not only for the church, the Lord Jesus was a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, he was not just dying for some people, he was dying as the Lamb of God for the sins of the entire world. He paid the sins for all of us. Well, the shepherds continued with an announcement of God's love to others. The angels made their announcement, now it was the shepherds' turn. Luke 2 verse 16, And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds continue to announce the birth of the Saviour. The Saviour who was God's love to this world. And we, like the shepherds, need to pass on the good news as well. Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus speaking here said, Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those shepherds made an announcement to others. An announcement of love incarnate. The Lord Jesus had come to this earth. And they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. Are you making an announcement of love this Christmas to all people? When was the last time you witnessed to someone? When was the last time you told something about the Lord Jesus to someone else? When was the last time? When's it going to be the next time you're going to witness to someone? You know, we are here, we are left here primarily, I believe, to grow and get to know the Lord. We're left here to mature. But primarily, we're left here to be a witness to others. And this Christmas, are you telling others about the birth and the hope that you have in the Lord Jesus? I hope you are. Now, Jesus is coming again, and people should know about it. 1 John 4 verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. When Jesus Christ first came, his glory was veiled. When he comes again, his glory will be completely unveiled. At his first coming, he came as a suffering servant. At his second coming, he will come as a sovereign king. At his first coming, he was crowned with thorns. At his second coming, he will be crowned with gold. At his first coming, he came and endured shame. At his second coming, he comes in splendour. When Jesus came the first time, he came to redeem. At his second coming, he will come to reign. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that God is love. And Father, we thank you that God took action, and that involved the atonement. The Lord Jesus became the propitiation for us. He was the perfect sacrifice that you accepted for the sins of all mankind. We thank you, Father, that God took action in that when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And Lord, help us to be people that announce your love, that tell people about love incarnate in the person of the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us this Christmas to be effective witnesses of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And not only of his birth, but his miraculous life, his death on the cruel cross of Calvary, his resurrection, and his promise of eternal life to all that would trust in him. Lord, use us this Christmas to talk about Christ to others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.